because that would make this all too real, and I'm not sure I can handle that right now. My thoughts run away as I ponder all the things he could be doing now. Is he at the bar dancing with some woman that he doesn't plan on knowing the name of? Does he hate me for leading him on? That's how I feel right now. I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop, looking for any excuse to kick him out of my life. And that's what I've done.
Mommy, what are we doing?
I look in my rearview mirror at Elle and close my eyes to erase the thoughts of Harrison. Nothing. Mommy just had to stop and think for a minute, I say as I put the car in drive and make my way over to Liam and Josie's to pick up Peyton. I open the door to Liam and Josie's house and am met with just the sound of the television. Usually this house is loud and boisterous, especially when the kids are all here. Elle runs past me into the living room and shrieks.
What are you doing?
Coloring, I hear Peyton respond. My heart stops and my stomach falls. I close my eyes and pray that she hasn't done too much damage to Josie's living room wall. My steps are tentative. I'm afraid of what I'm going to find when I walk into the room. Both girls are laughing as I enter. Harrison catches my eye briefly before he turns away. My mouth drops in shock. Peyton is sitting on Harrison's lap with a marker in her hand, and Elle is sitting next to him. I walk around the front of them to get a better look. Both my girls are coloring on Harrison, filling in his tattoos, bringing them more to life than they already are.
"What are you doing?"
I ask in shock, repeating Elle's earlier question. Peyton sighs.
"Coloring."
I see that, but why?
"Because Harrison is a real-life coloring book."
Harrison laughs along with Peyton. Her laughter is music to my ears. He's found a way to make her laugh, and I can't even thank him. I look at Harrison, who isn't looking at me. I just want to see his green orbs, so I know that this is okay. But he's focusing on the girls. He's ignoring me, and rightly so after what I've done. I stand back and watch Peyton interact with Harrison. He moves when she asks him to, and even holds the markers for her. I don't know what happened while I was gone, but something changed for them. I'm not sure how I feel about it now that he's not going to be around, but I know I like that she's responding to someone other than just Liam. Harrison looks relaxed, and he's clearly enjoying himself, pointing out places that have been missed. I try not to stare, but can't help it. He has both my girls wrapped around his finger like he was meant to be in their lives.
"What did you do to your hand?"
For the first time since I've been here, he looks at me. His lips are in a thin line. I recoil and shrink back into myself. I have to look away for fear I'd start crying under his gaze. He doesn't answer, but goes back to paying attention to the girls.
"Are you going to answer me?"
I ask again. I know my tone is demanding, but I can't help it.
"Don't do this in front of the girls,"
he says quietly. Both of them look at me, confused. I don't know if he's trying to placate me or what, but it's not working. Peyton glares at me before she goes back to coloring.
"I'll be right back,"
he says to them. They groan and huff, but let him get up. I watch as he leaves the room, knowing I should follow, but I can't make my legs and feet cooperate. Both girls are staring at me, wondering what just happened. I have no idea how I'm going to tell them that Harrison won't be around anymore. I finally relent and go look for him. I square my shoulders when I find him at the kitchen sink. He stands with his back toward me. I want to reach out and touch him, trace my fingers over the newest ink placed on his arms by my daughters. But I can't. I have to let go and move on. We aren't right for each other. "Harrison," I say, alerting him to my presence. I see his back visibly stiffen and wonder how he went from being comfortable to this awkward stance so quickly. Is it that easy to just shut off emotions? He sets his glass down hard. I jump at the sound of it hitting the countertop. He leans forward, even farther away from me.
"What do you want, Caitlin?"
I want to yell out that he's the one I want, but I can't. I won't be something he keeps on the side. I need to be everything to him. I need to matter.
"What happened to your hand?"
I ask again, more for curiosity than anything. He holds up his casted hand, one that has been colored with gold and silver markers, and twists it in the air. He doesn't turn around to address me, and that bothers me.
hit a wall and broke it in two places. Anything else you want to know about me?
No. My voice is quiet as the word gets stuck. He pushes away from the counter and walks to me, stopping when we are shoulder to shoulder. There's no eye contact. There's no touching.
All you had to do was trust me.
He walks away without looking back, without waiting for me to catch up. He talks about trust, but I can't. Not with what I've been told. Not with what I've seen. Photos don't lie, do they? I walk back into the living room, but stop at the entry and watch Harrison interact with the twins. They're being their usual selves by acting like monkeys, and he doesn't even care. He's not fazed by them in the least. He tickles them, and their laughter is music to my ears. He's bringing it out of them in droves. Why can't life be as simple as laughter?
Chapter 35. Harrison. It's been 3 weeks since shit hit the fan, and my life imploded. 21 days since a malicious lie ripped out my heart and destroyed my chance at happiness. I can't even count the hours because there are too many. All I know is that I hate the emptiness I feel each day when I wake up, and the loneliness that threatens to consume me at night. There hasn't been a moment that I haven't thought about revenge. I've waited for Alicia to call or show up, but she hasn't. And today, I'll see her in court. I really want to ask her why. Why go through the trouble of destroying my life if she wasn't planning on showing up like she told Caitlin and Josie she was? Liam is determined to beat Sam at her own game. He wants her far away from him before the wedding. I don't blame him. She's dangerous. We should have seen the signs a long time ago, but we were young and stupid, and she made being in a band easy. Liam hired a private investigator and turned over all the evidence he uncovered himself. Within a week, he had enough to go to a judge and ask for help. So now we're sitting here, waiting. Waiting is the hard part. It makes me anxious. I stare down each woman that walks into the courthouse, wondering if it's Alicia. Aside from the doctored images she produced with her face, I haven't seen her in 8 years. The way Josie described her doesn't fit the picture I have of her from that fateful night. I've hidden the photos of us in my room when Quinn asks about her. I want to be able to show him that, yes, we were smiling at one time in our lives. I'm not sure how or even if I'll tell him about that night. I'd like him to make his own decisions about his mother and not be forced by what she did to me. I wouldn't be able to tell him anyway, other than what she told me. Remembering that night is like staring off into space. Nothing's there. I'll be asking a family judge to issue a no-contact order against Alicia. She hasn't done any physical harm to Quinn or me, so a restraining order is out of the question. But as his primary legal guardian, I can ask that she's not allowed to contact him until he turns 18. My lawyer seems to think that we shouldn't have any problems obtaining this. She hasn't shown any interest in Quinn, just me as of late, so there's no need for her to be near him until he's old enough to make that decision on his own. Liam is next to me, his leg bouncing up and down. He's nervous, I know. We've underestimated Sam, and it's done a lot of damage to the band and our personal lives. We've filed a restraining order against Sam and Marino Entertainment. It's a long shot, we know, but our private investigator uncovered a lot that we didn't know, and this is our only recourse. We talked about filing a lawsuit, but our attorney advised us to try this avenue first, in the hope that Mr. Marino would put a leash on his daughter. My name gets called, as does Alicia's. I look around, but don't see anyone walking toward the clerk standing at the door. I'll be waiting here, Liam says, before I step away. How we ended up with hearing times an hour apart is mind-blowing. I thought for sure it would be months before I'd get in front of a judge, not weeks. I walk into the judge's chamber, followed by my lawyer. He hasn't changed much over the years. He's still pudgy and just as bald. We sit on one side of the table and wait. Is she going to show up? She was served, and if she doesn't, he'll sign the order. I want to see her, I say abruptly. I have no idea why I said that, but it's true. I want to look at her and try to figure out what makes her tick. We stand when the judge comes into his chamber. The bailiff tells us that we can sit. Where's Ms. Tucker? Not here, Your Honor, my lawyer says. The judge looks at his watch and writes something down. Are you the father of Quinn James? I am, I say proudly. It says here, Mr. James, that you're seeking a no-contact order against Miss Tucker. That's correct. And Miss Tucker isn't here to dispute this? No, Your Honor. She was served and awarded a public defender, according to my records, my lawyer adds. Very well, he says as he scribbles on his paper. Motion granted. Miss Tucker is to have no contact with the child in question until he reaches the age of 18. The judge gets up and leaves, and like that, we're done. I walk out of the office with my lawyer and shake his hand. I tell him that I hope I never see him again, and he laughs. I can't imagine ever needing him, unless Alicia requests the order be lifted. I would hope that if that was to ever happen, the judge would see through her bullshit. I nod at Liam from across the room, and he motions for me to look to my left. There stands Sam with her dad and their lawyer. Her father is prattling on about something, but she's not interested. She's glaring at Liam. I shake my head and walk into her line of sight, and stand so she can't see him anymore. Alicia didn't show. One hoe down, another to go. Liam laughs, but tries to hide it. I know the bitch is standing behind me throwing daggers, but I don't give a shit. Honestly, I'm surprised she even showed up, considering her clone didn't. Are you happy? Liam asks. I nod. I am, even though I wanted to see her, to speak to her. I'm happy that for the next 10 years she can't do anything to Quinn. She can come after me all she wants, but not my boy. J.D. walks in, just as our lawyer tells us we can enter the courtroom. We pass by Mr. Moreno, who doesn't smile at us. Not that I'd expect him to, but it would be nice for him to show some recognition. We made him a lot of money, and he thought he'd reward us by pawning us off on his daughter, because she had a serious hard-on for Liam. Sam was the beginning of what could have been a huge downfall for us. The three of us sit down, with our lawyer on the edge. We don't watch as the Marinos enter and take their seats. We can hear Sam and her exaggerated huffing and puffing to know enough. We stand as instructed by the bailiff and wait for the judge to sit. We have a woman judge, and I wonder if this will play into our favor.
Good afternoon, she starts. I've been over the files that were submitted at my request.
She folds her hands and looks at us.
I've asked for special consideration with this case because of the complexity. I've never seen a file so thick for something like a restraining order.
The judge shuffles a few papers around.
Mr. Page, do you feel that you and your family are in danger from Ms. Marino?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. James, I ask the same question to you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Davis, and you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Marino, are you aware of what your daughter has been doing for the past 10 years?
I think we hold our breath, waiting for his answer. All three of us lean forward and watch him as he settles in front of the microphone. No, surely if I knew I would have put a stop to it. The judge doesn't respond, but moves more papers around.
It says here in an email from yourself to Sam Marino, and I quote, "It's best to keep the clingy girlfriend away from Liam. What he doesn't know won't hurt him," end quote. Do you remember writing this?
No, Your Honor.
Misters Page, James, and Davis, you've instructed your lawyer to ask for a restraining order, but he took it one step further and attached what you'd call a civil suit. It says here that you're looking for restitution from lost wages from your tour. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, our lawyer answers. I wasn't aware we were asking for money, and by the look of it, neither was Liam.
Ms. Marino, it saddens me that you would keep a child from his parent. That, to me, is probably the lowest thing you can do. The years of abuse these men have suffered at your hands, ending with their recent tour, is deplorable.
You should be ashamed of yourself. But I have a feeling you're not. I hereby grant a full restraining order, which means, Ms. Marino, you and your heirs are not allowed to communicate in any way, shape, or form with the members of the band and their families and employees. You are also not allowed within 1,000 feet of them. You are also ordered to pay $200,000 in lost earnings.
The judge slams down her gavel as we sit there, stunned. We just wanted the restraining order so we can move on with our lives peacefully. We didn't expect this at all. We stand as the judge exits. Liam shakes our lawyer's hand, as do J.D. and I. We follow him out of the courtroom, elated with our victory.
I've got to head off, J.D. says. See you guys in a couple of days.
I don't bother telling him that Quinn and I will be moving back to L.A.
What the fuck just happened? Liam asks.
That, my friend, was a judge who can't stand the Marinos. When I found out we drew her, I modified my request. I took a gamble.
That was crazy, I say, running my hand through my hair.
Let's get out of here, Liam says, as he motions for the door. I couldn't agree more. I want to get back to Beaumont and finalize everything. The movers are coming the day after the wedding, and I need to start packing. Quinn will go back to being homeschooled by my mom. There will be no more calls from the principal telling me he's gotten into a fight. There's a commotion behind us. We turn in time to see the courtroom doors fly open and Sam storm out. She looks like Elvira on a rainy day. Her makeup is running down her face. She points at Liam and storms toward him. I grab his arm and pull him outside. We don't need to listen to what she has to say.
You!
We'd both stop.
Liam, why would you do this?
You don't need to answer her, I say. She moves in front of us. Tears run down her face. If I had an ounce of respect for her, I'd care. But I don't.
You loved me once, Liam. Why did you do this? I just lost everything in there.
Liam sighs and moves away from her. I never loved you, Sam. You were a plaything. Something to pass my time. You were a mistake, and something that I regret every day of my life. You took my son away from me. You took Josie away from me. And for that, I hate you. I lost 10 years with my family because of you and your father. I tap Liam on the shoulder and point to the car waiting for us. Sam grabs Liam's arm and pulls him to her. He stumbles. I reach for his hand, keeping him upright.
You're mine, Liam!
Liam rips his arm from her.
Go home, Sam. You're not wanted here.
You can't leave me, Liam. You love me.
No, I don't, he says through gritted teeth. I never loved you, Sam. Listen to me. You're nothing to me.
Take that back, she says quietly.
Hey, can we get a little help over here? I holler for the police officer standing a few feet away from us. He comes over and Sam lets go of Liam. We have a restraining order against her, I add. We watch as he pulls out his handcuffs. Sam steps away, shaking her head. The officer steps forward, but isn't fast enough for Sam. She runs down the steps, and he chases her, yelling at her to stop. Sam heads to our car and slips into the driver's seat and pulls away from the curb. The driver is shouting, waving his arms back and forth. The police officer is screaming for backup. In a matter of minutes, police cars are flying down the road, chasing Sam. I think this will make the evening news. I laugh, although I don't mean to. But it seems fitting that this would end up making the front pages. Liam shakes his head.
What's her problem?
I put my arm around his shoulders. I hate to tell you this, but she's nuts. And you just made it worse.
Gee, thanks.
Anytime. We don't get very far before we have to give a statement. The officer who chased after Sam keeps scratching his head. It baffles me that he couldn't detain her. Barney Fife could have done a better job.
Come on, let's go home,
Liam says, as he signals for a taxi. He steps away and heads for the yellow and black checkered car. The word home hits hard, but I know my decision is the right one. I can't stand by and watch her fall in love with someone that isn't me. It hurts that we aren't together over something that was a lie. We have a flight back to Beaumont tonight. When we land, the ball will start rolling. I have to finish up my project with the kids and help Liam find Josie a present. My Christmas shopping is done. All that's left are goodbyes.
Chapter 36. Caitlin. Josie and I are finishing last-minute shopping for everything that we need for the wedding, Christmas, and her New Year's party. It all has to be done today. I know I'll be back here tomorrow with the girls, though. They've begged me to take them shopping so they can buy something for Harrison and Quinn. Christmas will be the first time he and I will spend any time together since we split. I've been able to avoid him at all costs, and that hasn't been easy. I never realized how much our lives were intertwined, and they continue to stay that way. Quinn still comes to my house after school, but Harrison no longer comes inside to pick him up. I know Elle misses Harrison, and is always asking to go to Liam's to see him, and now he's connected with Peyton, albeit after we split, and she's spending time more and more with him. I want to tell him that he needs to stop seeing them, but he's making them laugh, and right now, that's the best thing for them. My days since I've come back from Los Angeles have been spent helping Josie. I'm either working at her shop, or I'm finalizing wedding plans. She's managed to keep everything under control, but as the date gets closer, I've submerged myself in being her personal assistant. It keeps my mind off things. It's during the night, after the kids have gone to bed, that my heart aches. We finally decide to take a break. I pile my bags onto the bench and slide into the booth. My body sighs from tiredness. If another one of my friends decides to get married right after Christmas, remind me to tell them I'll be on vacation. It's mentally and physically exhausting trying to do both. How do you like Aubrey? I ask as I look over the menu. I've had the pleasure of working with her a few times. And as much as I hate to admit it, I like her and can see her fitting in very well with us. The question is, can Liam play nice with Nick?
I really like her, Josie says as she looks up from her menu. She really compliments Nick.
How are things with Nick? Josie sets her menu down just as the waiter appears at our table. After he's taken our order, I look at her, waiting for her response.
Things are good. Noah's happy that he's back, and that's important. Liam is being good, and that makes me happy.
What you and Liam have done for Nick is very commendable. Josie dips her head.
I think it makes Liam uncomfortable, though. When Noah went to Nick's last week, Liam locked himself away in the studio.
I reach for her hand and hold it in mine. It can't be easy for him, but he's trying. He's doing what's best for his son.
Yeah, you're right. I release her hand and pick up my iced tea. You know Liam and Harrison are in Los Angeles getting restraining orders against Sam and Alicia, right?
I fight the sigh that is building.
It doesn't matter.
Why not? She asks.
Liam created a child with that woman, and I'm still with him.
If you listened to what Harrison told you, and I know you did because you've repeated it to me, why not talk to him? Even Liam said that those photographs were doctored.
It's not that easy, Josie. Everything with him was so intense, and I found myself making excuses to see him.
He shouldn't be my focus.
You're right, Caitlin. He shouldn't be. But you should be your focus, and he was making you happy. You were smiling and laughing. I'm sorry, but that man is perfect for you and the girls. And you won't find anyone better than him.
Josie. Josie sighs and leans forward.
I love you like a sister, but I think your mind is clouded here. I believe in my heart that he's been faithful to you and the girls. Why would he move here if he was with Alicia? Think about it, Caitlin. Her story doesn't match up to what we know. I wish I was thinking clearly when she was telling us her story because I would have called her out on the crap. But I was shocked, just like you. But now that I've had time to think about it, and we know about everything that Sam has done, I have no doubt it was a setup to hurt Harrison. And it did just that. Just don't let it continue to hurt both of you.
I pick up my napkin and dab at my eyes. I don't know why I'm crying. Maybe it's because Josie is yelling at me. I know it's not because she's right or that I miss Harrison. That's just not possible.
I swipe away the fallen leaves from Mason's headstone. My fingers find the grooves of his name and trace them.
The Christmas tree the girls brought last week is still standing, despite the windy days we've been having. I straighten a few of the bulbs before setting my blanket down. It's hard to come here, but I think you know that. I know your dad finds it harder and harder to visit, but the girls make him come. They don't ask me, though, and I'm not sure how I should feel about that. They miss you so much, Mason. And I do, too. Our lives are so different than they were a year and a half ago. I sit down and look at his name. His mom is buried next to him, and his dad, when his time comes, will be buried next to her. Mason and I never bought plots or even made a will, because we never thought anything would happen to us. Yet, here I am about to ask my dead husband what I should do. I met someone. Everyone tells me that you'd want me to move on, but it's so hard to believe that you would. I remember how jealous you would get if someone would talk to me. So it's hard to imagine you'd be okay with me loving someone else. I tried to be with Harrison. That's his name. He's a friend of Liam's. They're in the band together. The girls love him, and he treats them really well. But I can't help but think he wouldn't be okay with this. How am I supposed to know that you're okay with me bringing another man into my life? Into the girls' lives? I need a sign, Mason. I need something to show me that you want me to move on. That it's okay to love someone else. Because right now, I'm set to be all by myself, if that's what would make you happy. I lie down on my blanket and look at the clouds. The day is gray and overcast. I turn on my side and run my hands over the grass that covers his casket. Tell me what to do, Mason, and I'll do it. You hold my heart. I'm so afraid to give it to someone else without your approval. No sooner do I speak the words does it start snowing. I roll onto my back and close my eyes, letting the snow fall slowly down to me. The snowflakes dance along my skin, landing on my eyelashes. Snow kisses, Mason used to call them. Is this my sign? Is this enough for me to open my heart to someone else with his approval? I'm crazy for planning this party. I'm not sure what I was thinking, except I needed to get my mind off of things, and what better way to do it than to have my girlfriends over for a mini-party? The music is on, and the drinks are flowing. The girls are with my parents, and we're having a slumber party. I know it seems childish, but it's better than driving home drunk. I carry a tray of nachos into the living room. Josie, Jenna, and Aubrey are on the floor, pillows surrounding them. We're all in our pajamas. It's high school all over again. The only thing missing are the boys looming outside, ready to climb up the trestle. I wouldn't put it past Liam to do that tonight.
Okay, we should play a game, Aubrey says with a smile. I'm glad she decided to come and hang out with us tonight.
Oh, games are fun, Jenna replies as she reaches for the nachos.
Josie, these margaritas are good. I don't know how many I've had, but each one tastes better than the last.
What game are we playing? Josie asks. How about a slight variation of 20 questions? Jenna suggests. Obviously, we know a lot about each other, and we're getting to know Aubrey. But it's girls' night, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
I'm game, Aubrey says.
Caitlin, remember when Mason had that party and we played Spin the Bottle?
Oh, God. I choke on my drink when Josie brings that up. He got so pissed that we never made it into the closet, which I didn't understand since we were already, you know.
No, I don't know. Tell us.
Aubrey winks and Jenna starts laughing. I roll my eyes.
You know,
I say, nodding my head, but Aubrey just shakes hers.
Fine. We were having sex, so I didn't see why it was so important to go into the closet. Only later did he tell me that it's a rite of passage that all boys need to experience.
Our next date, he took me to the freaking closet. They all start laughing. I can't contain my laughter and snort so loudly that they all stop, only to start up again.
Okay, 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 I say, holding my hands up. Seriously, my husband wasn't always the most romantic. But
I lose my thoughts.
Shots,
I call out to diffuse the tension I just created in the room. Josie lines up the shots of tequila on my coffee table.
Lick, suck, and slam, ladies. I'm almost a married woman.
Oh, shit, that burns,
Aubrey says after she knocks hers back. I agree, but keep that to myself.
One more time,
she suggests, and none of us disagree. Josie pours and lines them up. We count to three and repeat the process. We break out in a fit of uncontrollable laughter.
Caitlin, do you think Liam will try and sneak in here tonight?
Yes, I do. And probably Nick, too, although not at the same time.
Were they ever friends?
Aubrey asks. Not really. Nick had a crush on Josie, and Liam is possessive. I say, Nick moved here and just tried to fit in, but Mason and Liam had a solid friendship, and it was hard for him.
They get along now, Josie adds.
Nick really loves Noah, you know, Aubrey adds with a smile. I know she means well, but this isn't the time to discuss their odd family relationship.
I know he does. We're trying, Aubrey.
I know, and he appreciates it.
Can I ask a question?
I stop mid-bite and crunch on the chip I just picked up, slowly. I want to hear what Aubrey has to ask. I need a little bit of excitement in my life, even if it's at the expense of my best friend.
Sure, Josie says. When Nick asked you about the wedding, you told him that you hadn't set a date.
Why? Josie shakes her head slightly before looking at Aubrey. She smiles, genuinely, and I know she likes her and is glad that Nick found someone.
It was awkward to talk about getting married less than a year after he and I broke up. I froze, and it was the first thing that came to me. I meant no disrespect, and I'm happy that you're here tonight.
The room grows quiet except for the sounds of chips crunching and the music playing in the background.
Most public place you've ever had sex?
Josie blurts out. I'm going to need more to drink if we are playing sex games.
Bleachers, Jenna replies. I've never had sex in a public place. Nick was my first, and it's very cold here.
We try not to laugh, but we can't help it. Aubrey starts laughing, too.
I'll tell him we need to try.
Oh, yeah, Nick will love that, Josie adds.
50-yard line.
Last night, she says. We look at her. Our mouths drop open. She shrugs and takes a drink of a margarita. I can't believe you.
What? Why not? Liam's hot, and yesterday he was Liam Page, and I couldn't resist. What about you, Powell?
I feel the blood rush to my head. I've only had sex outside one time, and that was with Harrison.
I at this place called The Point?
On a motorcycle.
What? Mason never had a...
Oh, my God. Josie covers her mouth. I feel my cheeks start to burn. I try to get up, but she pulls me back down.
On his motorcycle?
I nod and am rewarded with squeals.
Caitlin, that is seriously hot. And with Harrison, too.
I'd do him. I look up at Jenna and wonder why she'd say that.
Okay, let's play Kiss, Marry, Screw.
Jenna continues.
I'll go first. I'd totally kiss Matt Dillon, but only when he was in The Outsiders. I'd marry Harrison and screw Jimmy.
What?
Ew, Jenna. Jimmy is such a dirty dog,
Josie says, but I'm still trying to process what she said about Harrison.
Why Harrison? I ask. Why not Harrison? A man that's good with his son? Heaven. Okay, my turn. I'd kiss Vampire Eric, marry Will Smith, and screw Ryan Gosling,
Aubrey adds.
Hey, girl,
Jenna throws out there. I look at her with confusion.
It's his thing, she says.
I guess it's my turn, I say. I'd kiss McDreamy, marry Prince Harry, and screw Ryan Stevenson.
Ryan Stevenson?
Josie asks. I realize I've made a mistake.
He's a drummer.
You know other drummers? I sigh and cover my face. Harrison showed me a picture of him one night. I pour myself another shot and down it.
Why would you want another drummer when you have that fine man waiting for you?
I look at Jenna questioningly. She shrugs.
Harrison's a catch.
What? I choke out.
Nothing. My go,
Jenna says enthusiastically.
Josie didn't get a turn,
Aubrey adds. Josie waves her hand.
Liam, Liam, and Liam for all my answers.
I roll my eyes. Figures.
I have a good one. I'd kiss Nicholas Holt, marry Henry Cavill, and screw David Beckham,
Jenna says with a bit of flair. What's with all the Brits? I ask.
It's the British accent. It does things to me.
Ah, so that's why you want to play with Jimmy, Josie teases.
He's sweet, she says. But he'll never settle down. He likes the ladies too much. Josie knows this from Liam, I'm sure. Harrison and I never really talked about Jimmy. But Harrison, on the other hand, I can see him settling down. I raise my eyebrow at Josie. I don't know what she's playing at, but I don't like it. I take another shot. I need to erase him from my mind.
Maybe I should ask him out, Jenna responds.
No, maybe you shouldn't.
Why not?
She asks. Josie moves closer, holding a pillow in her lap.
Because you can't.
But you broke up, Josie throws out there. I lean over and cover my face.
You guys, I think you're embarrassing her.
If I could lean over and kiss Aubrey, I would.
I'm going to text Liam and tell him to come over.
Josie suddenly changes the subject.
Oh, have him bring Harrison, too,
Jenna says excitedly.
No, don't,
I hastily reply. The last thing I need is for Harrison to turn up and make things even more uncomfortable than they already are. Jenna looks over at Josie and Aubrey before continuing.
Well, if the boys aren't coming over here, maybe we should go and see them.
Josie, you can give Liam a booty call and I can get to know Harrison. I don't know whether it's the amount of drinks I've had or the fact that Jenna seems to have a fixation on Harrison, but I do know that the idea of her getting to know him better is not okay with me.
I don't think that's a good idea, I say quietly.
Why not?
Because I don't.
But why? He's single, I'm single. I think it's a great idea.
Because I think I'm in love with him, I blurt out. The room goes quiet, and I notice Josie and Jenna exchange looks.
Aubrey scoots next to me and puts her arm around me.
What are you going to do about it? Josie asks. I shake my head.
I don't know. I can't. I stand up and try to pace, but I'm too dizzy. I sit back down and pull my legs to my chest.
I can't take any more hurt.
Josie kneels in front of me and takes my hands into hers.
Harrison won't hurt you, Caitlin. He's in love with you, and he loves Peyton and Al. Just give him a chance.
I did.
And he didn't do anything to break that trust. You were duped, just like I was last year by that wretched woman. He's taken care of her. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't have done that.
I shake my head.
I don't know.
Josie puts my hair behind my ear.
You too know, sweetie. You just have to look in front of you.
I nod and wrap my arms around her. I don't know what I'm going to do, but maybe Harrison and I can sit down and figure things out after the wedding.
Chapter 37 Harrison
Merry Christmas! Quinn bellows out. He runs into the house, excited to spend his last few days with his friends.
He hasn't told Noah or the girls. Said he didn't want them to be sad around Christmas time or for the wedding. I respect his decision. The sound of laughter rings throughout the house. Quinn and I carry in our presents for everyone. The girls are dressed in matching outfits. I eye Peyton, who looks like she's going to scream with excitement. I smile at her, and am rewarded with one of the sweetest smiles I've ever had from her. Since the day we had our chat, things have been really good between us. Elle is twirling around like a ballerina, giggling. I feel like I'm missing something I never really had, and it hurts. Caitlin sits in the chair next to the fireplace. Her legs are curled underneath. I miss her, but can't let that show, especially today. A year ago, I walked into this house and saw the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. When I held her hand, I knew she was going to be someone special. Everything I did because I saw her as my future. Now she's my past, and in a few days, she'll go from someone I know and see occasionally to someone I see rarely, if at all, and that doesn't make me happy. But it's my choice. Liam walks in with the Santa hat on, and the kids start jumping up and down. I kneel in front of the tree and put the presents that Quinn wrapped underneath it. I hold the one I bought for Caitlin in my hand and wonder if it should be included with the rest, or if I should leave it in her mailbox on my way out of town. It's not meant to be a parting gift. It's something I bought for her before shit went down. I thought about not giving it to her, but it has meaning, and I can't bring myself to return it to the store. I try not to watch her, but I can feel my body gravitate toward her. Her hair falls in her face as I pass by. I have to pocket my hand to keep me from caressing her cheek. I pinch my leg, reminding me that she quit us. I didn't.
"Present time," Liam announces. The kids yell with excitement and gather around the tree.
Liam distributes the presents to each child, leaving the adults for last. I try to keep my thoughts at bay. I don't know if moving is the right thing to do, but right now, it's what I need. I've put myself out there with her, and I wore my heart on my sleeve. I sit back and watch as the kids tear into their presents. Wrapping paper flies all over the room, and laughter rings out. Josie brings in breakfast. She hands me a cup of coffee. I know the look on her face. She feels sorry for me, and she shouldn't. She smiles softly and turns to look at Caitlin. I don't want to look, but I can't help myself. And much like last year, she's staring at her girls, probably remembering her husband. I can't imagine holidays get any easier when the one you love is no longer able to love you back. I should know.
Dad, can I give Peyton and Elle their presents?
Out of the corner of my eye, I see Caitlin look over. It makes me wonder what she's thinking.
I'd like to watch them open them. Can you bring them over here?
I ask. Quinn nods and returns to the girls. He picks up their presents and shows them to them. The three of them, who have grown close this past year, come over and sit in front of me.
"From me and my dad,"
he says, handing each of them a box. Quinn picked out the red wrapping paper and blue bow. The girls tear open their boxes and open the lid.
"Oh, look, Molly, I got a necklace."
Elle shuffles over to her mom and shows her. I look at Peyton, who holds her necklace in her hand.
"What's in there?"
I move to sit down on the floor next to her. I pick up the vial and spin it around. Her eyes go wide with surprise as the gel moves around.
"Inside are two names, yours and your dad's."
I take the necklace from her hand and secure it around her neck. "This way, your dad is always with you."
"Is mine like that too, Harrison?"
Elle walks on her knees over to me and hands me her box. I take out her necklace and hold it up so the sunlight can hit it.
"It sparkles!"
Elle squeals and claps her hands. I spin it around and hold it in my hand so she can see the inside.
"That one there says Elle, and that one there says Mason. Can you put it on for me?"
Elle turns around and lifts her hair like a true princess. I fasten her necklace and sit back. The girls play with their necklaces, mesmerized that each time they tilt the vial, their gel and names move. I went with leather as their chains, so they won't break on them.
"This is from my dad,"
Quinn says. He hands Caitlin her box. I didn't even know he brought it over. Honestly, I thought I hit it far enough at the back that Liam would find it last and I would be gone. I don't want to do this family shit right now.
"Thanks, Quinn."
Caitlin takes the present from him and pulls the ribbon. The satin falls onto her lap and she tears off the paper. I look at Liam, who is focusing on Josie and Noah. They're oblivious to what's going on. My heart beats faster when she starts to lift the lid. I need to get out of here. I stand, just as she gasps. I look down at the ground. I can't bear to look at her. I hear the charms clank together as she pulls out her bracelet. When I bought it, I thought it was a good idea. Now I'm second-guessing the decision to even give it to her.
"Harrison?"
I close my eyes at the way my name sounds. I shake my head and walk out of the room. I don't want her to tell me she loves me or that she's thankful. I did it because I wanted her to know that all of us, including Mason, can fit into a life together. But that's not what she wants. I don't want to leave Quinn, but the pain is too much to take. The studio is cold and far too dark for my liking. We haven't practiced or even jammed in weeks. I turn on the light and shut the door. I need to be alone. Pulling out my stool and putting on my headphones, I sit down. My sticks are sitting there,
evidence that Peyton has been down here practicing. I like that she feels comfortable, and hope that she tells her mom that she wants lessons because I think it's helping her self-esteem, and it gives her something to do, aside from her fascination with football. The beat of the drums soothes me. This is my escape. I need this, even if my left hand is hampered by a cast. I know I'm a shit for ditching out on Christmas, but I need to be able to clear my head. When she's in my vicinity, my judgment is all clouded. All I want to do is pull her into a corner and beg her to give us a fair chance. There's no way I can do that and save face at the same time. She was loud and clear when she kicked me out of her house that night. She wasn't willing to look at the possibility that the photos were lies. She just thought I was a liar and a cheat, something I've never been. I freeze when the beat of her song starts coming from my drums. What would possess me to play this, I don't know. I put the sticks down and take a deep breath. The door opens and footsteps come near me. Are you really leaving after the wedding? I look up at Liam and nod. I can't be in the same room as her, and she's always around. I need my space. How does Quinn feel? He's fine, I say as I run my finger on the rim of my set. He knows we'll come back sometimes, and since he'll be homeschooled, he can travel back and forth with me. Liam sighs and pulls out another stool to sit on. With you back in L.A., J.D. won't want to come here. He'll be asking me to come back there to work. Don't put this on me, Liam. You want someone to blame? Blame Sam, or hell, blame Caitlin for the bullshit. If she didn't want me, she should have just stayed away. I was doing fine from a distance, but no, she had to show that she was jealous of other women and act like she cared so that I'd pursue her harder. I know you're hurting. I shake my head. Nah, man. It's beyond hurt. I can't look at her without wanting to kiss her and shake her at the same time. I don't get it. She's scared. Well, that's no way to live your life, and we all know how short life can be. I believe in second chances, Liam says. I know he does, or he wouldn't be getting married the day after tomorrow. But not all of us can be so lucky. If you need time, you should take it. It's not me needing time. I know what I want. I want those three girls upstairs to be in my life permanently. I want my son to have Caitlin as a mother figure, because that's what he wants. I don't need the time to figure that shit out. I already know it. I rub my hands over my face and groan. It's not me, Liam. I'm not running or shutting doors. I'm moving because it's too hard to sit back and watch her life go on while mine is teetering on the edge, waiting for a glimmer of hope that she might someday want to be with me. Liam comes over and pats me on the back, squeezing my shoulder. Josie says brunch is in 30 minutes. I'll be up. No sooner does Liam shut the door than it opens again. This time my visitor is a short and sweet little girl with a black velvet ribbon in her hair. She comes over and climbs into my lap. Her arms wrap around my neck as she hugs me tightly. I squeeze her back with all that I have, hoping that I leave an impression for her.
How come you don't come over for dinner anymore?
I'm not sure how to answer her. What do you say to a child who has lost so much in her life? I'm busy with writing music. Sometimes it takes a lot of my time. I adjust Peyton and set her on my knee.
Mommy cries a lot at night again.
What do you mean, again? She shrugs.
I think she stopped for a little while, but now she does it again.
I push her hair behind her shoulder and offer her a smile. I don't know what to say. Part of me hopes she's crying because we aren't together, but I should know better. She misses her simple life, and with that comes the longing she has for her husband. She doesn't shed tears for me. Want to play? I ask her, holding up the sticks. Her grin spreads from ear to ear as she takes them from my hand. She spins in my lap and is ready for me to give her the signal. Except this time I don't. This time I bring out another set of sticks and play with her. We pound on the drums, creating our own music. When we have a decent rhythm going, I hit record on my laptop, and we play again and again until it's time to eat. When we're done, we're tired and sweaty. Peyton hugs me again. Her arms are tight around my neck. I hate that it's taken so long for us to be friends, and now that we are, I'm leaving her.
I love you, Harrison.
I love you too, Peyton. My response is automatic. My heart is beating wildly in my chest, threatening to come out or break at a moment's notice. If loving her, Elle, and Caitlin is right, why does everything I do feel so wrong?
Chapter 38. Caitlin. Are you ready? I ask as I straighten out Josie's train. It's pinned to the French braids that meet at the back of her head. Her dress is strapless and tight around her waist. The silk is bunched and pinned statically, making her dress poof more. Jenna does a last-minute fix on her makeup, as Josie is nervous and keeps touching her face. "Stop touching," Jenna says, slapping Josie's hand. "Why are you so nervous?" I ask. "I don't know. This is a huge step." Jenna and I start laughing. "Seriously? You have a son and you live together. Usually this step happens first." Josie closes her eyes and takes a deep breath. "What if he's not there?" "Oh my God, Josephine, get a grip. It's time to go." I push her toward the door. Jenna opens it and Mr. Preston is standing there, waiting for his daughter. I give him a kiss on the cheek as I pass by him. Jenna, the twins, and I walk into the vestibule. Music is playing softly. We wait for our cue. The girls walk out, dropping rose petals along the path. Their dresses match Josie's, except with straps. Their beautiful hair is braided to match Josie's, with pieces curled and hanging down. Jenna steps out next. I count to 20 like we practiced in rehearsal, and step out. The three white roses that make up my bouquet are held tightly in front of me. My dress, crimson-red, falls just below my knees, with a bow in front, just off to the side. I love my dress, and not many people can say that about their bridesmaid dresses. The strapless, form-fitting top and flow of the dress makes me feel sexy. I avoid looking ahead for fear of what may break my heart even more. I smile at the guests on the sides, all eyes watching me, until I pass. Each pew is decorated with white roses and red ribbon. Jenna and Aubrey have done a wonderful job with the flower arrangements. I make a mistake and look toward the front to see Liam, wondering what expression he's wearing. I don't see him or Jimmy, even though they're both there. All I see is Harrison, dressed sharply in a black and white tuxedo. His hair has been cut and styled nicely. He doesn't look like the man I've declared my love for. He's too covered. He's not the storybook I've become accustomed to seeing. His eyes connect with mine. I bite my lip to send a sharp reminder to my brain and my heart that I'm here for a reason, and that is Josie and Liam. Anything to do with Harrison will have to wait until my duties are done. I step forward and take my spot next to Jenna. The girls are sitting on the steps, as are Noah and Quinn, who had the duty of escorting the guests today. They are dressed to match Harrison. I glance at Quinn, who smiles at me. His hair is tousled and in need of a trim. I shouldn't have those thoughts, though, but I can't help it. In Noah's lap is the ring pillow. It's fitting that he holds the bands that will tie his family together. Everyone stands as the music changes. I know I should be watching Josie come down the aisle, but I can't take my eyes away from the man who is staring at me. He's not looking at Liam or Josie, but at me. I don't know if I should smile or look away. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Josie and Liam step up to the minister and in my line of sight. I'm no longer connected to Harrison. I can no longer see him clearly. The words from the minister ring out over the church. He talks about love, life, and finding someone that makes you happy. I know the words aren't meant for me, but they hit home. In the short time that Harrison and I were together, I was happy.
He made me smile and feel loved. He treated my children as his own, and even though we are no longer together, he still does. That should be enough for me.
Liam, please recite your vows to Josie.
Liam rolls his neck and shakes out his shoulders. The guests laugh.
You'd think because I'm a musician this would be easy. But let me tell you, finding the words to say to this woman is very difficult.
Liam clears his throat before he looks into her eyes.
Josie, in your eyes, I have found my only home. In your heart, I have found my only love. In your soul, I have found my only mate. Josie, with you, I am whole, full, and alive. You make me laugh. You allow me to cry. You're my every breath and every heartbeat. I am nothing if you're not mine, as I am yours.
Josie sniffles. I don't blame her. I have tears pooling in my eyes as well. The minister nods at her, letting her know that she can start. She takes a deep breath and starts speaking to the love of her life. Liam, I promise to encourage your individuality, because that's what makes you unique and wonderful. That's what makes you mine. I promise to nurture your dreams, because without them, we wouldn't be standing here today. I promise to help shoulder our challenges, because we're a team and are stronger than ever. I promise to always be your best friend, your lover, your wife, and most importantly, your partner. I promise to share with you the joys of life, because with you, they'll be that much sweeter. Liam, lastly, I promise to you perfect love and perfect trust, because tomorrow will never be enough. Josie never shared her vows with me, and I'm thankful for that. When she speaks about a perfect love and trust, she speaks from experience. She's been through more than just losing the love they shared once. She's had to learn to trust the public side of Liam, and she's done it gracefully. Noah hands his parents their rings. Liam gives him a fist bump, much to the guests' delight.
I now pronounce you husband and wife. Liam, you may kiss your bride.
Whistling and laughter ring out as Liam dips his bride back and kisses her. When he writes her, he raises their hands in the air. I hand Josie her bouquet and watch as my two best friends rush down the aisle to start the next chapter in their lives. The kids follow, Noah with Peyton and Quinn with Elle. I step forward and loop my arm into Harrison's. This is the closest we've been in weeks. It doesn't feel forced or uncomfortable. It feels natural. It feels like home. The moment the wedding party is announced, Harrison leaves my side. I know I shouldn't have expected him to stay next to me, but a small part of me hoped he would. That small part hoped that the wedding vows and the love in the air would spur him to take a step and demand that I talk to him. No such luck, and there's no one to blame but myself. Josie and Liam move right into their first dance. They hired a band to play live music tonight. The band plays one of the songs Liam wrote for Josie. Why she chose this, I'll never understand. But it's their song. When they finish, we all sit and enjoy dinner. The atmosphere is so laid back you'd think we were at a party, not a reception. I've been to many, and while most have been boring, this has a nightclub vibe going on. I have a feeling this will be an all-nighter for some. The dancing begins as soon as the dinner plates have been carried away. Liam, Josie, and Noah all dance together for one song, uniting them as a family. Jimmy stands next to Harrison. Both of them are without their jackets now. Jimmy's bow tie is undone and his hair is standing on end. It makes me wonder which one of these women is his date for the night, as I look around for someone who looks like they just came out of the coat closet. That image is enough for me to be thankful I didn't have to coat check anything. Time moves too fast. The cake has been cut, the bouquet tossed, and Liam performed a very erotic dance to take off Josie's garter. If she wasn't embarrassed, I was enough for the both of us. Harrison caught the garter and spun it around his finger. He smirked when he caught me watching him. He licked his lips before turning away.
That's the rocker side of him showing, reminding me what I gave up. The singer of the band tells us it's time for our speeches. He helps me step up.